Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, connecting with you through Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together and chat about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected on the earth and in our lives. My name is Mark Walls. I'm speaking to you from New York City. And I am joined by my colleague, Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, near the banks of the mighty Mississippi.
Good.
And it has been mighty lately. The river is high.
Oh.
Yeah, the river's high. It's not way into flood, but all the lowlands have been wet, and we needed it. So we're very grateful for the rain. There's been a few mudslides north of here. We're not grateful for quite that much rain. Normally, Minnesota does not get, 2 inches of rain an hour like we were getting in the worst of the rain last week. That's, more tropical. And so it's interesting to see it, all the changes that climate change are bringing.
Yeah. Wow. And normally we have Ann Ortley with us, our third partner, but she's not on tonight. I think she's probably involved with her recuperating from a broken foot. I think it makes her a little
It's been a long doozy, and broken foot and foot surgery.
Yep.
Oh, Pisces moon that she is.
Right.
Which rules the
beat. Anyway, she'll probably be with us next week.
Great.
So, Mercury's going retrograde.
Yes.
That'll happen this Saturday. That'll be for about
3 weeks.
And
I can already feel it.
It's in the sign of Cancer, early Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after it turns retrograde, it'll go back into Gemini and spend most of the retrograde time in Gemini. And then it'll move out and go into Cancer once more.
Mm-hmm.
But Mercury retrograde is always fun, especially for Heather.
Yes. I'm very mercurial. Mercury rules my sun ascendant midheaven and is in my first house. And so it's usually a real snafu for me. And but I do get to travel, and I'm going to travel to see family at some point during the holiday and in Mercury retrograde. And I usually travel, and I just have gotten very good at, I'll knock wood on that, I'm being humble. I've gotten used to Mercury retrograde travel and just carrying everything on board, and making the best of whatever the journey takes me. And that's so much the side agendas, the things that you have to deal with that you didn't think you did, were going to, that you just have to let go of the schedule and the agenda and notice these side things, these side issues, or maybe something from the past, or maybe something you didn't know you were dealing with. It can feel like you're spinning your wheels in place, a lot of effort just to be where you are. But that there's something else being worked through, and it's important to keep our eyes open for what's the gift in the unexpected side journey that you end up taking.
That's always really important, especially with Mercury retrograde. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, I can't do anything. Mercury's retrograde. Can't sign anything, can't read anything, everything's going to go wrong. And it's really quite overblown. It's it is bringing us opportunities and giving us the chance to work with a retrograde energy and really be able to see it. So we stand to learn a lot by going forward with Mercury retrograde and just saying, oh, I wonder what kind of interesting snafus it'll bring and what those snafus will teach me.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, whether I was learning mathematics or learning a language, I always learned the most when I made mistakes because I could learn from the mistake what it is it's really supposed to be. Whereas if I got things right, I'd never know quite, that's good. I'm glad
it didn't sink in the same way.
Yeah, it didn't sink in the same way. But when you've made a mistake, you really learn from it. And that's the value in these retrograde periods with the planets, is it is a more inward experience, and so we're able to perceive a little more carefully if we're really listening. But if we say, oh, you know, everything will go wrong, let me just ignore it, you know, let me try not to do anything, then we're just missing all that. So I think it's really good to take advantage of the retrograde and go ahead and travel and, you know, figure that something will change. And good. Let things change.
I've known several people who met their mate while waiting on a line somewhere while Mercury was retrograde.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that the serendipitous element of the delays can be really amazing. But it with Mercury retrograde, you know, it's been in Cancer now for several days.
Right.
And when it went back, it's been there since May 28th. And when it went into Cancer, I noticed a lot, the people's moods went way inside. And it brought up a lot of self-doubt and wondering if they can do what they're here. Like any old tape they have about inadequacy or doubt. When Mercury went into Cancer and started to retrograde, and it's trining Neptune, and Mars is moving forward, but it's now it's at 10 degrees of Libra, and it's back to its square with Pluto and opposition to Uranus, and that's going to tighten up over the next few weeks.
That's the other big thing going on is now Jupiter has moved out of the Grand Cross. But Mars is still very tight with Pluto and Uranus, and that's quite a combination.
A combination. Without Jupiter now.
And Jupiter in some ways was helpful. Even though it was squared and opposing and all that.
It was a little tricky.
Jupiter energy. Yeah. But now it's just Mars, Pluto, and Uranus. And that
so it is a time to be careful. One car accident almost happened today. All the food went flying, and I just saw the little glitches that start to build up. And again, safety. If we make movement a meditation, it can be a safe and dynamic and exciting time. Anything that we do to hold still, work further. So there's a lot about the introspection and the holding in place and sitting and weeding in your garden instead of running around. You know, when in doubt, when things get a little scary or a little hairy around the edges, to slow down and to find that place of center. And with Mercury retrograde, when it retrogrades back into Gemini, I think people will come out of that sort of the deep interior, you know, some people are experiencing like a deep funk. Others are just doing a deep interior work and may come back to the more sociable. There's all of Mercury in Gemini retrograde.
Yeah, Mercury in Gemini is really out there, very affable, very extrovert, you know, so even the introverts among us find it easier to communicate when Mercury's in Gemini. But when it's in Cancer, there is that pulling in and more emotional response to things. But as it goes into Gemini, it's more, you know, the talking head. So
yes, indeed. And it can take us into a head.
Yeah, and that'll be a little bit easier part of the retrograde on this one, I think.
And, you know, when Mercury goes retrograde, so much comes up from the past. And I worry when I saw Obama bringing more money and troops back into Europe, you know, bringing the Cold War, reactivating the Cold War in response to Putin's actions at the request of several European countries. That feels like such a flash from the past.
Yeah.
And when they released the prisoner from
Afghanistan
and bringing up so many layers of pain and misunderstanding and confusion there in response.
Right.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll see other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A certain amount of confusion and sort of going over things that maybe don't even need going over.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm also hearing people going back to greet their family after school and their old friends. And as long as they accept that everybody's changed since the last time they saw them, they're having a wonderful time. If they go back and expect everybody to be just like they were when they left, that's more of a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Mars opposite Uranus and square Pluto, and that's
mm-hmm.
with Mars moving forward now. And
mm-hmm.
it's Mars in Libra, which, you know, Mars in Libra is said to be in its fall, but it's actually not such a bad place for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are signs that it has a lot more difficulty, and Mars in Libra, it doesn't like being like Libra, having
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
take the other person into account, but it's actually a good exercise for Mars. And it brings out some qualities in Mars that you wouldn't get otherwise. So,
yeah.
You know, I never mind seeing Mars in Libra.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it stronger because it's sort of forced into pairing along the way.
Yeah.
And so our energy, we do exert our will, but we have a little more in mind of how it affects our partner. And
mm-hmm.
that, I think, is a good thing. So in that sense, it's...
I agree with
Mars.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but Uranus in Aries over across on the other side of the zodiac, that's pretty tricky. And Uranus is in Aries for a long time because it moves very
mm-hmm.
slowly. So we're dealing with that energy over a good decade. And but when it's opposed by Mars in Libra, it brings out the real rush of Uranus and Aries energy. And that's that
mm-hmm.
impulsiveness. And that's to be
mm-hmm.
worried about when Uranus is running
yes.
the Mars energy of Aries and they're opposing.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of tips Mars on his head pretty well.
Right. Now, I'm also see with that combination often any Mars-Uranus aspect, you know, yes, I do see natural disasters. I think the storms and the tornadoes this year
yeah.
are part of that. But I also see an ingenuity. It's often a combination you see in a chart that has brilliant mechanical ability.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of one client I had that had a Mars-Uranus conjunct in his natal chart.
Yeah.
And he was a, you know, brilliant technician, but he was often wiring large buildings, and he'd been hit by lightning 3 times.
Wow.
And was still walking and talking and interested in astrology.
Yeah.
You know, but that, you know, he had an unusual gift with all things electrical.
Yeah.
So I see often with this Mars-Uranus opposition that people get ingenious because they have to handle a problem or a snafu or a challenge. I'm hoping that the climate change is becoming so painfully obvious that the world's ingenuity begins to apply there and people begin to find answers that they weren't finding before.
Yeah, that'll be good because that's really where things will turn around. And there are a lot more possibilities to change things much more quickly than we have been.
Yeah.
You know, we can speed up the making better, even though the making worse was getting faster and faster with
mm-hmm,
all the increase in technology and the spread of it. We can actually get ahead of that. And move ahead of the curve in fixing things, once these things go. So it would be really great to see some breakthroughs come out, and they're likely to with this opposition. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have two callers on the line. And if anybody else, we're going to try to call the speak to these people. And the number for those who'd like to call in and ask us a quick question, we're going to try to get to these questions pretty quickly tonight, is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And hello, 202, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, good evening. I called like a few months ago on my birthday in March. And I've since found out my exact birth time, which is
wonderful. Can you give us your birth information again?
Yes, it's 3580, and it's 1:29 a.m. in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Anything that you see stands out.
What did you do to find out your birth time?
I had to write into the vital records office for my
Wonderful.
And wait for them to send it snail mail, which took like
forever.
70 something days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But I finally got it.
So
yeah.
Okay. Hold on.
The only thing, one of the things that I noticed that I was a little bit worried about or blown about was that it looked like Saturn has not gone through my 12th house yet. And I thought that that's what I was experiencing.
It's 16 degrees. It had dipped into your 12th house, backed into your 10th, and then goes through your 12th. I see that you have a 15 degrees Sagittarius rising. What rising sign did you think that you had before?
I did think I had Sag rising. Mm-hmm. The only thing or what I noticed that changed on the chart was I noticed that I thought that Saturn was in my 10th house full time, and it's actually, I believe, in the 9th house, which is interesting. And the MC? I thought that was Virgo and Libra. It should change some things work-wise.
Yeah, your midheaven is Libra. There are a few differences. So the ruler of your tenth house of career and work and reaching out into the world and experience is now your Venus and Aries down in the fourth house. So there's still a connection for you from the tenth to the fourth, strongly.
What does that mean?
That the ruler of your tenth is in the fourth, and the rule of your fourth is up there. That your home life always affects your work, and your work always affects your home life. And you've got your moon conjunct Pluto, and you have the image of the mother. And normally that's a house that we associate with the father and with how we were trained to go work in the world and our work and out there. And you have your Moon-Pluto conjunction in the 10th house, and they're all in the sign ruled by Venus in the 4th. So, and Saturn is now back, you said, as your father image, dad, or some of the work is back in the 9th house. What's been your experience with education, and how did you feel your family trained you to deal with your career?
My education was really, it was diversified, I would say. Like, I went to public school, and then I got a scholarship as a kid for this Quaker school, so then I went to Quaker school, and then...
Which
when
one?
I went to college. What, Quaker school?
Mm-hmm.
At Friends Central in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Friends Select?
Central.
Yeah.
Friends Select was our sister school, though. But it was a really cool experience. It was a very, like, it's a great education, but it's really chill and laid back. So I was exposed to that, and then I went to, you know, regular college in D.C. And then I started, like, I take a lot of classes for editing, which is what I do. And I've sort of been just kind of, I like taking classes. I like taking classes.
No, it's interesting. When Saturn, when you thought your midheaven was Virgo and Saturn was in your 10th house, being in the editor would make perfect sense. But you have, you've got three planets in Virgo in the ninth house, in your house of how you explore and what's your education. And yes, you have Mars conjunct Jupiter in Virgo in the ninth house, which is wonderful for editing. And you have your north node in the ninth house. That's that. And they're all, you know, Virgo's a mutable sign, many different forms of education, always curious. But there's a more creative or artistic or, you know, a desire not just to edit but to write, or not just to edit but to draw and paint and see beauty, or edit things that are about exploring the beauty way, you know, the path of the heart, that I see with that lineup in Virgo and Libra ruling the 10th house.
Right. That's very true. Do you see anything or any major, or do either of you see anything with work or love, like coming up, that stands out, or look pretty chill?
You have your, and so Mercury would rule your house of partnership. Mars rules your house of relationship. On you. Your progressed moon is at 19 Capricorn, and it's going through your second house. Your progressed sun is 18 Aries. Uranus and Pluto are coming up and will catch up to your sun, and Uranus will be coming up to catch up to your progressed sun and kind of itching on it. And so there's, I think, some new layers of unexpected change coming to you, coming into your life. But it's still in the very, you're just starting to feel the restlessness for what's calling you and curious. And I would say to move forward with your eyes wide open and don't wait until you're so restless that you want to run out of the door.
Yeah, oh, my God, I was wondering where that was coming from.
Yeah, it's an exploratory period. So allow yourself to explore, and you know, you like learning, good time to learn.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and learn, you know, learn from taking responsibility for things. Like really take something on, do projects.
Right.
And you know, make them defined and doable. So so that when you're done, you can wrap it up in a neat package, put a bow around it, and that was that, you know.
Okay.
In other words, it's not just running from one thing to the next and leaving loose ends. No loose ends. Wrap it up.
Yeah,
you'll
that's
really
so
enjoy that.
Yeah, I'll enjoy it if I wrap it up, you're saying, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, I have this it is totally the stir-crazy but directionless, like, vibe about me. And that's not typical, you know what I mean? Normally I have goals. Even though I have my own way of achieving a goal, it may not be linear. Like, I achieve them, but now I'm just like, I do not know what to do, you know?
Yeah, that's why I view each thing as a discrete package. And they may not line up in a linear way, but they all become little boulders that eventually you build into something.
Okay. Is that going to last a long time? Or?
I think we're going to go on to the next caller because we only got 5 minutes left.
Okay.
I want
to
wish you the very best of luck and stay in touch with us.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
And it sounds like you're really studying astrology on your own.
I do.
It would be wonderful to work with a study group of people and also to sit around and compare notes with each other's charts.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Great. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Okay, and we have another call.
510, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi. My information is January 24, 1967, Oakland, California.
Okay.
And it's 9:38 p.m.
Thank you. You know how to say hello to astrologers. And
you said
so,
5 minutes, and I thought, uh-oh, I better get going.
Okay, so what is your question? I see we have you down as a Cancer moon, sun in Aquarius, Virgo rising.
Yes, and I spoke with you a couple months ago, had a reading with you.
Okay.
I've been dealing with candida, and so I was really, really fatigued and sick for several months, just getting myself to work, but really just sleeping the rest of the time. And I turned a corner a couple weeks ago.
Yay.
And
you progressed sun's exactly
conjunction.
Your Chiron. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. And but I'm having sugar cravings and I'm cranky about what I have to eat and I don't drink anymore or do any drugs or anything and I'm kind of depressed. I'm trying to get back up and get re-engaged with the world and my life, but I still have this disconnect feeling, and I also.
Well, you're not done with your intestinal work. You know, you've got there's some really lovely things going on in your chart. About 2 years ago, you began a new lunar cycle. We talked about that. Your Aries moon is making you cranky, but it's also bringing back your life spirit and independence. Yeah, but the thing is, it looks like you're still rebelling against the restrictions of the diet rather than rebelling against the candida. Candida took over your body. It's sending its own chemical messages. It's not you craving the sweets. It's still the candida craving the sweets and sending the message into you to send carbs. And if you can really feel the rebellion, you're born with Libra, with Mars in Libra natally, and your progressed moon is coming to oppose that. And so by progression, an exact Jupiter-Neptune square, and that brings up real blood sugar issues. I think that you will find within a year, even in 3 months when your progressed moon in Aries conjuncts Venus, you're going to be so much more energized, and sweets will have much less hold on you. But
I'm not
how
feeling
can
energized
you like
or,
really
yeah.
reclaim yourself and your body and your mind from the candida? Use that moon in Aries, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. That's very much what's going on. It's a little battlefield, and you have to look at it as a long-run thing and realize that once you you get through this and, you know, make the decision who's the boss, you'll be able to make a lot of adjustments and the diet will become easier to deal with. So just remind yourself of that. And, you know, because if you blow it now, then you got to keep starting over. But, you know, if you see through...
I'm not blowing it. I'm cranky
good.
About
yay.
It.
Yay!
Yeah,
you're
going like to
start finding what can you do with this new joy. Jupiter's coming to conjunct your moon. This is a long-term, lifelong, tune your guts up and take your intestines back time. You know, it's like occupy
like
your guts.
You actually know what you need to do and you're doing it. It just doesn't feel great because there's so much, you know, denying
yourself.
It doesn't
feel good.
Yeah.
No.
So you have
not
to look at the other
side.
And look at what you're giving yourself. So, you know.
So our time is up, unfortunately. And remember to set boundaries with people and things as well and find what feeds your life force to support that. Mark, we need to say goodbye.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. And thanks for listening, all you that are listening. And we will check in with you again next week. Good luck as Mercury moves into retrograde. And this is Mark Waltz signing off from New York.
And Heather Owen Robbins from Minnesota. Take care and feel free to call any of us for a personal reading.
Okay.
Bye.